Well, hello, this is Brad Fain, and I'm here today on Living a Good Life, and I'm super excited for today because we're going to shift gears and we're going to talk about Arizona parks and the parks that we have in this great state. And I have with me Neil Large, who is the Digital Director of
Digital Marketing Coordinator.
Digital Marketing Coordinator for the Arizona State Trails and Parks. So what a cool job. What a cool agency to work for. And so we're here to talk about Arizona and our parks and what's there for people to go out and explore and get outside and how it kind of all connects to living a good life and just enjoying where we are and what the state has to offer. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you landed in this job of digital marketing?
Okay. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. You know, it was an awesome drive from my North Phoenix home office today. It's just a beautiful day out here in Prescott Valley. And, I kind of landed in digital marketing. I went back to college late in life and because I was working construction, installing air conditioning. And, you know, it got to the point where, you know, my wife and I, we started having kids and I'm like, well, you know what? The summer drains me, the summer heat being in attics and stuff. So I went back to college and got a communications degree from ASU.
Awesome.
And then I started working at Facebook, just a local thing in Phoenix, a little cell that sold advertising on Facebook. And it wasn't super gratifying. My mom, of all people, was like, I found the perfect job for you. You know, she printed it out and gave it to me. And it was a job at State Parks as digital marketing coordinator and aligned with a lot of the stuff I did in school. Plus, you know, a lifetime of living in Arizona and being outside. So I'm like, oh, wow, this is a perfect opportunity for me to share my love of the outdoors with a large group of people. And hopefully some of them catch on and are as experienced gratifying things outside like I have over the course of my life.
Awesome. So just your mom found the job, you applied and it all worked out and you got the job. So how long have you been with the state parks?
6 years now.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've loved it. You know, I mean, we've done a lot of growth over the years that I've been there and I've been able to watch trajectory on a lot of the things that I track, you know, like website traffic and social media and stuff like that, really skyrocket, you know? So
what is your role in digital marketing with our state parks? What's your goal? What are you trying to accomplish with that? Who are you trying to reach?
I'm trying to reach people online, essentially. Okay. So a lot of the content that I create for our website, so I just wrote a page about Quatamundis yesterday, and it'll be up on the website soon. So we just try to share information for people about the outdoors to get them excited. And there's so many different aspects of the outdoors. There's the animals, there's the birds, there's hiking, you know, mountain biking. There's so many different avenues that we can take. So there's a lot of content that we have to continually put out. And on the website, azstateparks.com, there's a page called Outdoor Resources. And on that page, you can find all the cool stuff that we've written that kind of hits on all these different recreation types and opportunities for people to do.
So is it connected with tourism and trying to get people who aren't living in Arizona per se to say, hey, this is a great state to live in because look at all the parks we have as a part of rounding out people's lives? Or is it just trying to get our current residents like, hey, this is a great asset that you pay for. It's the state. It's your park.
Right.
Get out and enjoy it.
Well, we work with tourism on a lot of stuff. Okay. You know, there's a lot of things we partner on, like the Appreciate AZ campaign they did, which, you know, they hooked up with Leave No Trace and came out with the Appreciate AZ 7 tenets of, you know, just recreating responsibly outside. But generally, we focus on whoever sees our content, and they could be anywhere. When we put stuff online, you know, people can see it anywhere. Generally, we focus on residents, although there are times that we advertise in some of the same places that tourism does to kind of piggyback on the work they've been doing, I guess, you know.
So do people know the difference between when they're on a state park and when they're on a town or a municipal park? I mean, is there an overlap there?
We hope so. You know, we hope they do.
Is yours mostly, would people say a state park is a trail where a municipal park is maybe has a ball field or some other element to it?
Well, that it could be. I mean, state parks are there to preserve that area, you know. So We have over 30 of them throughout the state, you know, anywhere from in all corners of the state, on the Colorado River, Southern Arizona, Central Arizona, North Central, where we're at today. So the problem we run into is people not recognizing between a national park and a state park. So like the Grand Canyon or Saguaro National Park or any of the other great national parks we have in Arizona, because we do have a ton of parks that aren't even state parks, and they're all really great.
So anything in the national forest would be a...
Well, it'd be whatever's on the national forest. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I can't think of any specific parks that are within a national forest, but like a national park is kind of like its own separate mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah. So what's the biggest state park?
The biggest land-wise?
Biggest or most popular?
There's a couple that are really popular. Karchner Caverns down south. Yep. I mean, you got that those caves, right? They've been forming for, I mean, I'm not 100% sure how long they've been forming, but it's like hundreds of thousands of years, and they got stalagmites, stalactites, and just a lot of cool features in there. And when you walk into these caverns, it really is like a breathtaking experience, because even I'd worked for state parks for like 2 years before I went down to the caverns. And, you know, I wrote about them and stuff, and then... Mm-hmm. When I saw them, it took my breath away. I was like, whoa, this is like way cooler than I could have ever imagined it being. Yeah, so Karchner's cool. Plus, there's a lot of neat trails around there. They go right up into the Whetstone Mountains. And I have a soft spot for the Southern Arizona Sky Islands. I love spending time down there. And I'm an Arizona native, and I've been down there a bunch over the years.
Funny little fact there. I've never been to the Sky Islands.
Okay.
I know them.
Okay.
And I know them because of my iFit bike. And I was doing a ride.
Right.
And my trainer, that's where we were all in Southern Arizona. And one of the rides was the Sky Islands. We were up and around. So I saw them on my screen.
Oh, nice.
But I've never been there, but I know. I'm like, hey, I know those.
Oh, yeah. You got to check them out. A lot of them have cool roads. People bike up there. Yeah. Mount Lemmon, you know, there's a road that goes all the way to the top, and that's just gorgeous up there. There's some of that, the burn stuff from that recent Bighorn fire, but then you go past it and get up into the pines eventually, mm-hmm. you know.
Very cool. So, I mean, I see your face lighting up when you talk about parks. Mm-hmm. So from your perspective, how are parks integral to living a good life in Arizona?
Well, the cool thing about parks is a lot of them are near, some sort of, metropolitan area, right? And so they're a quick escape. So you guys are in, you know, Prescott Valley. So say you're having a rough day, rough week, you know, stressing out a little bit. And it's scientifically proven that spending time outside is going to, you know, lower your heart rate, reduce stress levels. And you guys have so many quick escapes right here to do that. So, I mean, I'm a huge proponent of, if you're feeling a little stressed, get outside and start looking at stuff. But I understand that, you know, a lot of people are kind of new to the outdoors, and they might not know exactly what they should be doing out there.
So is there like rules or etiquette when you're in the state parks? Like, so to encourage people to get out, don't be afraid, but here are some simple rules to follow?
Right, yeah. I mean, just treat the area like you'd want somebody to treat your house, you know? I mean, don't litter, take everything out there, like all your snack wrappers and everything. If you can't find a receptacle, take them out with you. Mm-hmm. You know, don't harass the wildlife. And, huge thing. So recently I was talking to people at Lyman Lake. They have a bunch of petroglyphs out there, and somebody had scratched out a bunch of them. And these things have been there. Like, people drew on those rocks like a long time ago. So, I mean, we're out there trying to preserve this stuff, and they scratched initials on it.
Oh,
and
that's too bad. It's
a bummer, because, I mean, it's really cool artwork, and it's a really cool piece of Arizona history that, you know, somebody defaces like that. And sometimes they can be fixed, and sometimes they can't.
Oh, that's too bad to hear. Yeah, don't deface that. That's historic and
right. So
cool for people to be able to see what happened hundreds of years ago.
It's so cool. Yeah.
So give our viewers some ideas of where they can go locally to enjoy the parks.
Well, locally, there's four parks pretty close to this area. Three of them are recreation parks, and one of them is a historic park.
Okay.
You know, I talked about Karchner being a great park, but I also like Dead Horse Ranch State Park in Cottonwood.
Okay.
And that's probably like an hour maybe from here or so. And I like it because it's the fishing's great there. I mean, in the wintertime, it's stocked by with rainbow trout by the Arizona Game and Fish Department. And throughout the year, there's, you know, bass and catfish that live there too. But the cool thing is, so we were there last year. We were fishing. We had filmed a segment, one of our podcast episodes down by the Verde River. And then we took our guest up to do some trout fishing and caught a couple little trout. It wasn't a super great day, but we saw an eagle catch a trout, which is freaking awesome. When you're, it just kind of adds on to the whole experience. You know, you're out there fishing, talking, having a great time. Oh, look at that eagle. And then bam, you know? Wow. Yeah. So that was really cool. Yeah.
Very cool. Anything on over here near Prescott Valley and Prescott for a park that
we're no, not this close, you know, to Prescott Valley. Everything that we have is about an hour away. Like, so there's Dead Horse, which, oh, and it has a really cool trail that goes all the way from Dead Horse Ranch to Red Rock State Park in Sedona. Yeah, it's a 13-mile trail. Okay. And, you know, you mentioned mountain biking. That might be a nice place to try out, you know, maybe park at one end and on both ends and then ride through, or some people go all the way through and back.
Nice.
But the cool thing about Dead Horse also is there's so many of the huge cottonwood and sycamore trees that every time of year, it kind of offers something different. You know, like in the summertime, it's just this green canopy. It's shady. There's, you know, summer tanagers, all these colorful birds. And then in the fall, you know, obviously they change color into kind of this golden hue. And then wintertime, when all the leaves fall off of those trees, you know, some people might think that it doesn't look that great without leaves, but I think it just adds another element to it. It looks kind of creepy, you know, and kind of, it's a cool vibe, you know.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. And, oh, up in Sedona. So up, what's that road? 89 out of here that goes north up to Sedona. So there's two parks up there, a Red Rock State Park and Slide Rock State Park. Red Rock has a bunch of great trails. There's the Miller Visitor Center that has all a ton of cool interactive information about area wildlife and geology. Oh, cool. My favorite trail at that one is the Eagle's Nest Trail. It's not even that difficult a trail, but it takes you to this really cool overlook with a bench up there. And, you know, you can just sit up there and look at all the red rock escarpments all over surrounding you almost.
Very nice. I remember Slide Rock when I was younger. That was the senior ditch day. Everybody would go to Slide Rock. So are the kids still going to Slide Rock? Because it's fun to
down that. It's a lot of fun. And it's a super popular park in the summertime. But that park also it's open year round, and it offers something that is pretty unique to this part of Arizona. It's a working apple farm. So there's apple trees that there's orchards, you know, that have all these apple trees and they pick them. People can actually go up there and pick apples this time of year and take them home.
Really?
Yeah. And they're pretty good. And
so is that like you have to pay to go in and pick them, or are they just?
I think it comes with admission. Okay. You know, you have to check on our events section of our website, but it might be included with admission.
So the apple trees are a part of the park.
They're part of the park.
Oh, and very cool.
A really cool byproduct of that is all of the coos white-tailed deer that come in to also get the apples that are there. So visitors are able to watch them interacting and eating these apples. And as the year kind of progresses and the leaves start to change, this park has like a rainbow of colors. Like up on the side of Oak Creek Canyon, there's some bright red, orange, yellow. So, I mean, even if you aren't in that area in the summertime, but you still want to check out Slide Rock, it's worth it just because it's absolutely gorgeous. And you have a chance to see some really cool birds and wildlife.
Very cool. So good opportunity to see wildlife with the apples around.
Yeah.
That's good to know because people want to see the wildlife. And you got to find those spots where they're a little more desensitized to humans being around. And so you can check them out.
Yeah, they let you watch them there.
Yeah. They're safe. They're safe.
and we always put out the disclaimer, you know, keep your distance from the wildlife just because, you know, for your safety on one hand. But on the other hand, we want to keep them around for everybody to enjoy. If they keep feeling that pressure and people spook them, then they're not going to be around.
Very good. So we talked about some of the trails you like, some of the parks around Karchner's Cavern down in southern Arizona. Anything that jumps out at you up in northern Arizona? People want to head north for the day?
Like Flagstaff area?
Flagstaff or beyond,
Well, Flagstaff, we've got Reardon Mansion State Park. It's a historic building up there that tells the story of the Reardon family that lived there. It's this beautiful old like log cabin that's really close to NAU, and they give tours up there, and the staff up there is so knowledgeable, and they absolutely love giving tours. Northern Arizona, Lyman Lake, like I spoke about earlier, that's in St. John's, Arizona.
Okay.
And that is, you know, north of Greer, like half an hour or so.
Okay.
And it's a giant lake. There's no motor restrictions there. So it's the biggest lake in that part of the state with no motor restrictions. So like water skiing and stuff like that is absolutely epic there because there's not a lot of people on the water. And it's a big lake. So, you know, you got room to do tricks. I mean, I don't do it, but I see those guys out there doing that stuff and it's crazy.
So not heavily trafficked.
Not a lot. Yeah. It's just far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what's happening along the Colorado River? Any good parks that people should consider over there?
Yeah, the Colorado River is an awesome area. You know, it's an ancient river and there's a lot of recreation there. Probably the main park along that river is at Lake Havasu State Park. You know, I mean, everybody knows Havasu. It's the spring break destination, but it's also, the rest of the year, a place where you can camp right on the beach or, you know, get a cabin right on the beach and relax, rent a boat at our, concessionaire, you know, so.
I did that years ago with the Boy Scouts.
Yeah?
Yeah, we jumped in on the Colorado River just right near where 40 crosses it.
Okay.
And so it was a short float with the Scouts, but then we went down to that state park in Havasu and we camped there.
Oh, nice.
For a night or two before we came home. So it was a lot of fun. It's a great environment. And if you pick the right time of year, you're not there with all the college kids, so it's
true.
It can be very enjoyable.
Yep. Yeah, they've got a really cool trail. It's a really short trail there, but it has all the native plants in the area, and there's interpretive signs. And every time I've been on that trail, there's just a bunch of, like, hummingbirds. And we saw a bull snake last time just hanging out.
Nice.
You know, so it's cool. But then a little bit further south on the lake, you got Cattail Cove. It's also on Lake Havasu. And south of there, still towards Parker, there's Buckskin Mountain and River Island State Parks. And they're on the river. And they all offer, you know, great Colorado River fishing. Mm-hmm. But we kind of say Cattail is like a little toned-down version of Havasu. So it's a little bit more remote and quieter still, even at Lake Havasu on like a quiet time of year.
So if you're not ready to embrace the bigger lake with all the people, then Cattail would be a good place to check out.
It's a good place, and it's an awesome park.
Awesome. Yeah. So we could probably talk about trails. I can just see you rattling them off all day long here. So for our listeners, if they want to engage, what's the best way for them to learn about what parks are out there, how to get to them, what they might offer them?
AZstateParks.com.
Okay.
You know, our website has so much information about all of these parks. It has information about different recreation options that are out there, fishing, mountain biking, hiking, OHV. OHV is huge now. You know, because during COVID, everybody went out and bought all these OHVs. So we've had to work with other land managers throughout the state to help dissipate the OHV traffic. So on the website, if there's any listeners that are into OHV at azstateparks.com/where-to-ride, there's tons of trails outlined there in all different corners of the state that people can check out to maybe try something new. And there's some information about each of them there.
So that's a great question I have from that with all the different types of users. So I just like to hike. You got hikers, then you got the mountain bikers, then you got the OHV riders out there. How do you as a park system kind of give them all a space and manage all that so they're not tripping over each other and creating bad situations?
It's through education. You know, first of all, we want everybody to get along when they're enjoying the outdoors because you're not out there to create a stressful situation. You're out there to get away from the stressful situation. So we hope that if people do get into some sort of altercation on the trail, they can just let it slide and go on their way. You know, there are things online like azstateparks.com/hikingsafety outlines who has the right of way and things of that nature. But generally we just try to help everybody focus on what they're doing, their outdoor recreation, their experience, And hopefully if there's a situation where an altercation arises, they can either walk away from it or maybe let a park ranger know.
So the website has information on the trails, the different types of trails that are out there. Also, I heard you say safety in there. So some safety tips, what you need to take when you're going to venture out, like water.
Right, yeah.
And other kind of safety.
Always take more than enough water. Even when it's not hot outside, people don't seem to realize you get all caught up in whatever you're doing out there. And then sometimes you forget to drink. Oh, man, my mouth's a little dry. I should probably drink some. Well, if it's gotten to that point, well, maybe you should have thought about it sooner.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But are there any apps or other tools that people can engage in with the park system?
We don't have an app, but we have social media channels on all of them. You know, it's Facebook, AZ State Parks. Yeah. Facebook, Instagram, X now. It was Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll keep up with that one.
Right. Yeah. So we also send out a newsletter monthly to a huge email list, and that has a lot of the current information, and you can sign up for that on our website. Yeah, you can sign up right on our website. Yeah,
very good. Sign up, and then you'll get the latest and greatest with the parks.
Yep, latest and greatest. It comes out at the end of each month. I usually write it 3 weeks into the month, and it comes out the last week of the month.
Yeah. Well, is there anything new and exciting coming up in our parks and trail system that you can share with our listeners?
I don't think there's anything exciting and new coming up. I do think that there's a lot of good events coming up. And on our website, there's an events section that people can check out. And there's I know during the wintertime, there's a lot of bird walks, you know, so there's a naturalist or park ranger that's going to take people on bird walks, help identify birds, but they also explain to you how to find them, how to identify them from their calls and things of that nature. Apple picking and Fall Fest up at Slide Rock, that's a huge event that I think everybody should experience. Cause I mean, up there that time of year, I think it's in October maybe.
So that one's coming up.
Yeah.
Okay.
That one's coming up, and that's a fun one. Maybe a quick day trip for people from this area to shoot up there and maybe do that. Maybe grab lunch in Sedona or something. Oh, I forgot to talk about Jerome State Park. I was going to talk about a historic park that was nearby, and it's Jerome. The copper mining history is super rich over there, right? And one thing I love about this park is, you know, you drive up that hill up into Jerome, and you park in the parking lot right outside the Douglas Mansion, which houses the museum part of the park. It's just this expansive view of the Verde Valley, and the magnitude of that view is awesome before you even get into the park itself. But when you're in there, there's a lot of cool stuff that kind of tell you about the tough and crazy history of that time in that area. And there's also interactive displays. Probably my favorite room there is the mineral room, because there's a black light that you push this button and all these minerals like glow fluorescent colors. And they got a couple of dead scorpions in there too, just kind of show you how they glow too. Yeah. But it's crazy that all these minerals, I'm not a geologist or anything, I just think they're super cool. These minerals, they glow pink and orange and yellow, and they just naturally occur like that out in the wild, and you can find them with the black light. So those are on display there too.
And all that comes right out of the mountains in Jerome.
Right out of the mountains. And there's this model of the town. It's a 3D model, and the mines that go underneath it. And if you haven't seen it, you have no idea how expansive these things are underneath that town.
Yeah. All the tunnels.
All the tunnels is crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. I think people that have moved here recently, they don't realize that Jerome was a bustling community back in the day.
They were
mining for the ore, and
yep.
It was a big, big town, busy.
Super busy.
And now it's just kind of a sleepy, cool tourist town, kind of artsy.
Oh, yeah, it's super fun.
But yeah, it'd be great. You go up there, see the museum, great places to eat there as well. So you can make a day trip out of it.
Yep, that's a great day trip.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate you coming and sharing with us about the park systems. And I believe it's a part of living a good life. I like to get out in nature and walk, and I usually hike every weekend. So
good.
I appreciate you coming up and sharing your story with us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. I had a lot of fun today, and hopefully I see your listeners on the trail.
Right. Thanks, Dale. I really appreciate it.
Yep.
This is Brad Fain. Thank you for tuning in to Living a Good Life, and our guest, Neil Large.